Like I said, our passage is Luke chapter 2, verses 13 through 20. You can look it up in your Bible, on your app, or on the screen behind us when we get to that reading. A lot of addictions arise from this want to escape from patterns, from things that are going on in our life, to get away from troubles. We make these addictions not healthy, you know, and there are things that may seem innocuous that you wouldn't necessarily think of as addictions, but, you know, a lot of people say that they go to movies to escape, or they play video games, or they pour themselves into sports and work. And then the more sinister things like alcoholism, drug abuse, and even self-harm, those things, they are used at times to try to fill some sort of void, some sort of hurt, some sort of pain going on in our lives. They're not all bad until you put them above your relationship with God. And if it becomes something that you depend on or you lean on for meaning in your life. There's even one philosophy, I may have shared this with you guys before, it's attributed to Pythagoras, where you do math, and as you do math, you're doing it to escape reality, you know? And like I've said before, who would want to do math to escape reality? There may be some, I don't know, but yeah. But little things can try to take the place of God in your life if you allow them. We have one thing that fills the void in our heart perfectly. We have one thing that brings true comfort in a world of chaos that tries to define us as the worst things about us. And we must always put that front and center at all times. And it is the thing that we celebrate at Christmas. So let's look now at Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 13. It says, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. Hope entered into the world on Christmas morning. The angels praised God. In verses 13 and 14, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" They were singing glory to God over what was happening in that moment. They were saying, something amazing has happened here. The angels in heaven are celebrating. Why are they celebrating? Because a dark and lonely world, which had been longing so long, for ages, for someone to come and to fix things, they got to witness the beginning of that happening. Jesus was the fulfillment of the prophecies that God said, "I'm going to fix all that is wrong and all that is broken." And the angels were celebrating that. And that spilled out into the shepherds. In verses 17 and 18, they said, "When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." The shepherds couldn't keep their mouths closed, right? They were so excited about what they had heard from the angels that they went and they told everybody they could about what they heard and had seen. And then if you continue, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Because they saw what they were told would happen, and they were able to understand what the significance of it was, what did they do? They ran back to their fields, praising and glorifying God. Imagine being a shepherd in the fields that night. It says they were scared because this angel appeared to them and then told them, you know, they appeared to shepherds. These guys weren't kings. These guys weren't noteworthy. Have we seen that happen before in Scripture? The king of all of Israel was David, who was a shepherd. He was so insignificant that he was forgotten when Jesse was asked to bring all of his sons so that his anointed would be picked. Here are these shepherds out in the fields, and the angel appears to them and gives them the good news. And then what do? They can't stop telling people about it. They were so excited that the Messiah was here that they told everybody they could. And then they praised God. Glory to God. As they went back home to do what they were supposed to be doing. Do you think the shepherds had anything weighing on their minds that day? Yeah. They're human. Just like us, they had their troubles. They had their heartaches. You know, I'm sure they had opinions about what was going on in politics in their time. You know, they were probably upset about the taxes that they were going to have to pay because they weren't making enough money, maybe. They were probably worried about the weather. They were probably worried about their flocks. They were probably worried about their safety out in the open where things could come and attack them. If they had families, they were probably thinking, okay, you know, do I have enough to give my family so that they can, you know, prosper? And then this glorious thing happens. And after it happens for them, that's all that matters. They met their Savior. And that was all that mattered to them in that time. Today, I don't want to talk about politics, right? One of the things that we try to avoid at holiday times is talking about politics and religion, right? You know, I hope that you feel comfortable enough with your family that you can share about your faith and tell the truth about who Jesus Christ is. But those are one of the things. You don't talk about money, politics, or religion for whatever reason. Y'all know what the reason is, right? You don't all agree. We all have things on our mind. You know, if you're following the news, maybe impeachment, maybe Donald Trump, you know, taxes, work, family, for kids, school, you know, you've only got 2 weeks off and then you got to go back, right? Yeah. Maybe something's weighing on us more heavily, like spending the season without somebody that you love, or maybe you've lost someone. That makes this a hard time to celebrate. Is everyone we love safe? And those things are just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the things that we might have on our mind day to day. And then kind of look at the season that we're in, okay? You know, people get uptight about people saying happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas. You know, people have started calling Christmas trees holiday trees. There's fights over manger scenes being set up in the public square. You know? The holiday becomes usurped by secularism. Santa, He seems to mean more than Jesus. Some people even fight over whether or not Christmas is celebrated in the right season. And they're willing to fight over it. You know, was Jesus born in the winter? Was he born on December 25th? I don't know. But there are people that are willing to fight over it in this season. And some of these things are things that I've thought about a lot. And when I focus on those things, it steals my joy. It takes my eyes away from the meaning of what we're celebrating this week. Steve Brown, I've talked about him quite a bit. He was one of my favorite seminary professors. He said, people forget to celebrate because they are so focused on the negative that surrounds the holiday, so they lose focus on the joy of the day. I love that I can go to a mall and I can hear secular music. Then every now and then, a Christmas hymn sneaks its way in, and the real meaning of Christmas makes an appearance. In those moments, people might be hearing the truth about Christmas as they may have never heard it before. Yeah, things might not be what they're supposed to be. It really is at times hard to get to the meaning of Christmas in the time of Christmas, right? But there are glimpses of that. There are glimpses of that. And this is one of those times where we gather together, we light the Advent candles as we're preparing our hearts for the day of Christmas. We're going to have a Christmas Eve service where we can even more encourage ourselves about the truth of what the holiday means. We can listen to the radio, and every now and then we might hear Joy to the World. Or, Oh Come All Ye Faithful, mixed in with Jingle Bells and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. But the true meaning of Christmas is that Jesus came. He didn't have to. It wasn't necessarily his responsibility to save us, but God gave him a purpose. And God said, I'm sending you, son, into the world. A world that's going to reject you. A world that's going to say, you aren't who you are. And they're going to torture you. Your closest friends are going to abandon you. And you're going to be convicted of crimes you didn't commit. And you're going to go to the cross. And you're going to pay the price to purchase freedom for all those who would place their faith in you. I know this isn't fair. But without you, there is no hope. Without you, there is no joy. Without you, there is no peace. So, son, go and show the world what they're worth. The world likes to sometimes very successfully place unnecessary stress on us. They want to pressure us. Sometimes it's hard to avoid that pressure. Sometimes it's hard to stand up under it. A friend posted this morning on Facebook a quote from Henry Nouwen that I think fits into this idea of where we find our value, where we find our joy. Henry Nouwen said this, in the world there are many other voices speaking loudly to us. They're saying, prove that you are the beloved. Prove you are worth something. Prove that you have any contribution to make. Do something relevant. Be sure to make a name for yourself. At least have some power, then people will love you. Then people will say, you're wonderful, you're great. These voices are so strong. They touch our hidden insecurities and drive us to become very busy trying to prove to the world that we are good people who deserve some attention. Hitting on those idols that I talked about earlier. Sometimes we think that our busyness is just an expression of our vocation, but Jesus knew that often our attempts to prove our worth are an example of temptation. Right after Jesus heard the voice say, "You are my beloved," another voice said, "Prove you are the beloved. Do something. Change these stones into bread. Be sure you're famous. Jump off the temple." And Jesus said, "No, I don't have to prove anything. I am already beloved." And there are times we forget to rejoice that we are belonging to our God who sent His Son Jesus into the world to save us. We forget to rejoice that God saved us through His Son Jesus Christ. We forget to rejoice because we're using a measuring stick that isn't the accurate measuring stick. A measuring stick that somebody put in our hand and said, "This is what is successful. This is what makes you beloved." And the truth is, that measuring stick, you need to chuck it away. You need to say, "My worth isn't based on what I can do here in this world. My worth is based on what God has done for me. God has done an amazing thing for you, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. He has saved you from all the things that you don't like about yourself. All the things that the world might say make you a bad person. Or all the things that you do to try to fill this void in your life." We are beloved because God loved us so much, He would not spare His own Son to show us what we are worth. In Christ, we are beloved. We don't need to prove it. We don't have to make anybody else see it. We are beloved. The worries of life will be there tomorrow, guys. They're always going to be there. The world's going to spin on with this harsh reality of an even more secularized society kind of building around us. But right now, just like the angels and the shepherd, let's for this moment glorify Him. Remember that none of the stuff around us matters in the light of the gospel. Focus on the reason we're here today, and that is to worship and glorify God who came that Christmas morning, whenever it was. Worship Him no matter what. No matter what troubles come into us, remember our Savior is on the throne. Our Savior is on the throne. We know the end of the story. We know the end. We know the end of the book. Spoiler alert. Hey, world, spoiler alert. Those who have faith in Christ, we win. We overcome the things that would tear us down. Because Christ overcame those things. Showed to us what we're worth. And that came to life at Christmas. Amen. Let's pray. God, our Father, we at times can lose focus. We can lose focus by you know, just allowing things to creep into our lives and tell us that we aren't worthy, that we aren't holy, that we aren't loved. And then we can allow those things to try to fill a void that can only be filled by one thing, which is faith in Christ. God, You redeemed us. You made us perfect by adopting us as Your sons and daughters. And we got to see that promise fulfilled through our Savior, Jesus Christ. So today, Lord, let's lean into that truth. Let's apply it to our lives. But God, help us to be like the shepherds that ran and told it to everyone that could hear. Because everyone needs to know the hope, the joy, and the peace that comes through Jesus Christ. God, we pray this in the name of our Savior, your Son, our brother, our God, Jesus Christ. Amen.